week are we on now? How many weeks have we had and how many weeks have we got to go? Oh, yes. Three weeks. So this would be correct then. Third, would it? Well done, everyone. Oh, I do love the Advent time. Okay, so what have you been doing to get ready for Christmas? We're on to our third Sunday. We only have a week and a half, well, let's say 2 weeks, makes me feel better, to go. What preparations have you done? Discuss quickly. You've got like 1 minute, 1 minute. What preparations have you done for Christmas? Excellent. Well, you know, I've done a few preparations myself. I have a tree up. Santa's sleigh, yes. I have a tree up. We have some lights on the ceiling hanging down. Done a few presents, not all. Haven't written any cards. I feel that's going to be, you know, another thing that doesn't happen. But lots of preparations need to take place before we get to Christmas Day. And it's the same when we look at the Christmas story. Lots of preparations needed to take place before Jesus could be born. And in the same way that we build up every week, God was working and he was doing things in preparation. At the beginning of the book of Mark, it says this: the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Before Jesus, John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord. As we build up to Christmas Day, not only do we make preparations, but we remember that God made preparations for when Jesus came. We also remember that as we wait and for the lead up to Christmas, we're not just sitting around waiting for a big day, but we're also waiting with God. God is with us and he is walking with us. So as we begin, we're going to sing Strength Will Rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait during this time of Advent. Let's stand together and sing. The words will appear on the screen behind me. I'm going to read from the book of Titus this morning. Towards the end of a passage in the book of Titus, from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. And it says this: for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. This morning, we are completing our series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have got to self-control. And I was reading a little bit about how much people spend each Christmas. And I thought self-control was quite an apt subject at the moment. Apparently the average spend per person is around £800 at Christmas. Oh, I know. With about £500, £300 to £500 on presents and the others on food and various bits and bobs. There are some extremely expensive presents out there. I was looking at a gold-plated Hoover, which was $1 million. I know. But I didn't. No, it's just gold-plated. You could also get a glass pool table with diamonds encrusted into it, which was a fair price too. And I was looking at height charts for children, you know, to measure heights, because at the moment we just mark the wall, and I thought it would be nice to get a little chart. There was a specially made one for £450, but I thought, the wall's fine, we'll go with the wall, and then we'll just take a picture when we leave, and paint it, of course, because it is the man's. Sorry. Really, it's in pencil. So self-control,
Moving on.
I thought that maybe, instead of me just talking the whole time, I might hand out some things on self-control, and you could either look at them yourselves, but it might be good to discuss. This is a piece by Rick Warren, who wrote about self-control, and he's written six things which self-controlled people do. And I would like you to look at these and discuss whether you think Rick Warren, not that there's a problem with Rick Warren, I'm just saying it's just a discussion piece, whether you think what he's put is, yes, that's spot on, that's how we should be, or whether there's some things which maybe, you know, you don't agree with, some things that should be in there that aren't. And then we'll come back and I will say a little bit, but only a little bit. So, I'm very sorry to interrupt the discussions now. Is that group, are you? Oh, good. Well, we can carry on then. So, basically, on this we have controlling our moods, our words, our reactions, our schedules, our money, and our health and lifestyle. What do people think? Well, it's difficult. Self-control is a very difficult thing. And, you know, if we're not careful, it's one of those words that is sort of the more exciting word for dull and dreary. You know, people think self-control, they think, oh, lives that are just so controlled that, you know, nothing can happen. There's nothing flamboyant, there's nothing exciting. It's that word for Christians who sort of avoid pleasure and restrict life and don't enjoy themselves. That can be seen as what self-control is. And yet it is, as we said, the final fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a characteristic which we are called to display as people who follow Jesus. So it is important that we understand it and that we try and bring bits into our lives and live with it in a way. In the book of Titus that we read before this, chapter 2 that I was looking at, this passage follows on from the end of a passage which repeatedly, if you look at the whole section, talks about self-control in various different relationships and different situations. And then Paul says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age." Paul says we should be self-controlled, upright and godly, but not for any other reason apart from the fact that this is the right response to the grace that God has shown us. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation, and this is what teaches us to be self-controlled. We have received the grace of God." Do you know, I don't know whether any of you have got Advent calendars. I guess if you've got children, you've got chocolate Advent calendars. You might have one of your own. But I have, James has one, and of course, we get to the point of opening it. He wakes up early every morning because he wants the chocolate. But the other day, he said, "Can I open all of the doors and eat all of the chocolate?" Well, I said no. I said, no, we have to wait because we open one each day because that's how we get to Christmas. And, you know, I could have said yes because it's fine. It's only chocolate. It doesn't really matter. It might have made him a little bit ill. And, you know, but I said no. And the reason I said no is because I know that the moment that he's opened them all and eaten it all, he will regret it. You know, the next day when he comes downstairs and he says, "Can I open the door?" And I go, "No, it's all gone. You've done it." He will regret it because the excitement for him and for a lot of us of the build-up to Christmas is that you wait. You know, you restrict the doors that you open every day and the chocolates that you eat and the desire to do everything and be involved in it all at once so that this year on Wednesday the 24th of December you can open that final door and you'll be ready for Christmas Day because you've walked each step chocolate by chocolate by chocolate to that day that you're looking forward to. And in the book of Titus, Paul calls Christians to be self-controlled. And he's not calling them to be self-controlled or calling us to be self-controlled so that lives can be dreary and restricted and we can make ourselves ill, if you like you were saying, by trying to control all these things and all these pleasures. But he's doing it because he knows the moment that we aren't self-controlled, like some of you were saying, the moment we do something, say something, act in a way, enter into something that we're not controlled about, we'll regret it. We might enjoy it at that time, depending on what it is, and we might feel better that we've splurged it all out in that moment, but ultimately, we will regret it because we're people of God and we're people who are living under the grace of God. So if you like, we've received his forgiveness, we've received his acceptance, we've received his new life, and we know what it is to live under the love of God, even though we don't deserve it at all. And therefore, we're looking forward to a time when this love will be complete, when the kingdom of God will come, when all the things we catch glimpses of now and all the things we receive in our lives now will be available everywhere because God's kingdom will be here. And if we lose sight of that by losing our self-control and entering into different things which distract us, then we'll regret it. We'll lose sight of what's coming and we'll regret it. So Paul's saying, in this time when we're waiting, in this time when we're living in response to the grace of God and we're waiting for the kingdom of God to come in all its fullness, in this time of Advent, if you like, we are to live lives of self-control. We're to wait with self-control. We're to wait by living lives that are worthy of the grace that we've received. So that instead of throwing ourselves into all the pleasures which we want to, in case we miss out, or devouring everything that's thrown at us, or trying all things new, or reacting to every situation, or living on our nerves and being guided by our emotions, we're to live steady, measured lives. We're called to live steady, measured lives, lives which we are in control of, not lives that react to things, but lives that respond with the grace of Jesus Christ. So we're not reacting to everything, but we're responding in a measured, controlled, loving way. If you liken it to the Advent calendar, we're sort of restricting the doors that we open every day. You know, we're restricting the pleasures we devour or the desire to react to every Twitter sensation that's around. You know, we respond to things in the right and measured way. I don't really play games on the computer. I have an iPad. I don't really play games on it. But Simon keeps downloading them. I'm going to blame him. And, you know, the other night I was sitting outside James's room because he couldn't get to sleep, and I just clicked on this game. It's called Mr. Crab. And it's about a crab that has to get up a tree to the top, and you've got all sorts of problems in the way. Basically, the screen sort of revolves, and you're like running and jumping and jumping, and everything's falling down on you. Oh, it's a little bit hectic, and you know, I was a bit, James was going, "Mommy," and I'm going, hold on, I've just got to jump over this thing, you know. And I couldn't do it at first because I was like distracted. There's all these things coming at you. But then I realized the way to do it, this game, was to look a little bit ahead at where you were going, so that you weren't distracted by all the things that were bombarded at you. You knew the next step and you could jump a bit in advance and you could see what was coming and you could look ahead. And you know, in a similar way, we're not called to live lives of self-control so that we can feel good that we've achieved something, or so that we don't do bad things and we feel our lives are going somewhere. We're called to live lives of self-control so that we can keep focused on the future, on that thing that's slightly ahead, on the kingdom of God, on the things of God, on what is coming, so that we can prepare ourselves to live in the kingdom of God in the right way. Otherwise, we'll find that we easily get lost in the distractions around us, or we easily get lost in the emotion of the moment, or we easily get lost in the problems that are thrown our way, until eventually we lose sight of the wonder of God that is coming. In Advent, we think about Christmas Day, but we don't just think about that. We think about the coming of Jesus Christ, his second coming. And as Christians, we don't really talk about that a lot, but Jesus is coming again, and he's coming to make all things new. He's coming to perfect the world. He's coming so that we can live with God in all his fullness. And that's what we're going for. That's what we're aiming for. And we can lose sight of that if we're not self-controlled. We can lose sight of that if we're responding in the wrong ways, if we're reacting, if we're delving into things and we think, oh, that's good. But we need to be self-controlled. Rick Warren's written those things. And I think, you know, there's some good things in there. But it is more about focusing on what Jesus has, the kingdom of God that is coming. And when we focus on that and know that we're living in a time of grace, we start to live as Jesus would want us to live. We find it easier to control ourselves because we're controlling ourselves for a bigger reason, for a better reason. But as I think was said somewhere over here, we can't do it on our own, and we're not called to do it on our own. And that's why it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're called to live by God's Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to be self-controlled when we need to be. So let's just have a moment to sit. I'm going to read Galatians 5 again, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We've heard it a lot, but it'd be good to sit and just listen to what the Bible has to say. And maybe in the quiet, we can ask for God's help with those areas which we find particularly difficult. And then we're just going to sing Be Still for the Presence of the Lord after that. So let's just sit for a moment. What great words. And so may God walk with us as we go about our day and as we go about our lives. And may he surround us and protect us. And may his love be upon us. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.